Welcome to the Well Aware Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Friedman, and today we have an incredibly special guest for you, Dr. Tim DeFrancesco of TD Athlete's Edge. Dr. Tim DeFrancesco is the president and founder of TD Athlete's Edge. He graduated from Endicott College in 2003 with a BS in exercise science and athletic training. He went on to the University of Massachusetts Lowell, where he earned his doctorate of physical therapy in 2006. Upon graduation, Tim spent 3 years working as a physical therapist in the outpatient sports medicine clinic setting. From 2009 to 2011, Tim held the position of head athletic trainer and strength and conditioning coach with the Bakersfield Jam of the NBA Development League. In December of 2011, he was named the head strength and conditioning coach of the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA. While traveling with the Lakers for over 6 seasons, from 2011 to 2017, Tim built TD Athlete's Edge. It all started as a series of online channels for top fitness and health guidance. After leaving the Lakers in 2017, he dedicated his full-time efforts to building TD Athlete's Edge with his team. TD Athlete's Edge is nationally renowned for its evidence-based and scientific approach to training, nutrition, and recovery for athletes and fitness enthusiasts. Tim is also one of the hosts of the Basketball Strong podcast, a podcast not only for basketball junkies, but for anyone who loves to hear the human stories behind great people. Tim's infectious personality and positive spirit have inspired countless individuals, from basketball greats to the average Joe, like me. Tim, welcome to the Well Aware Podcast. I am so happy to have you here today.
I'm pumped to be here, Andy.
Awesome. This is so exciting. This is really special for me because I think you're a little bit of a high caliber guest, and I appreciate you taking time out to talk to me today. I think what our listeners would like to know, because I would like to know, can you just tell me a little bit about your time as a strength and conditioning coach for the Lakers, which, by the way, I just want to tell everybody, I'm from Los Angeles, so that is, I'm just so, like, starstruck about that, so.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a time for me. I had 6 seasons as the head strength and conditioning coach with the Lakers, and so my first 4 seasons were Kobe's last 4 seasons with the Lakers.
Oh, okay.
And so,
wow.
Yeah, actually getting into one of the easier ways to kind of go into that chapter of things for me is a story of when I first took the job and when I first did actually meet Kobe. And so for whatever reason, it was fairly easy for me to turn down me as a fan of the game, and had many of these players, Steve Nash's poster up in my room when I grew up and all that stuff. But I was able to turn that down and turn that off and just say, here, I have this job to do and I'm here and let's do it at the best ability possible and not be focused on me as a fan of these people. But with Kobe, it's a little different.
Yeah, so, right, exactly.
So I remember him coming toward the weight room and being able to see him, and I'm saying, okay, this is going to be the spot. This is going to be the moment where I kind of shake hands and get to meet this guy and try to put myself together and say, okay. And I remember reaching toward him with an outstretched hand to shake his hand. And my name's Tim DeFrancesco, and I'm the new strength. Man, get your hand out of here. Give me a hug. And he's like, we got work to do. We don't have time to intro and all that. I know who you are. Let's go. And so that was Kobe's response. And once Kobe gave me a hug, I was like, all right, I can do this.
So that was like a dream come true. And it took all the everything out of the room. It like
100%, 100%, because anybody that I was intro to after that, it was like, all right, I've already made it in with Kobe gave me a hug. I'm good.
That's great. So what was your philosophy in working with, because, you know, I told you before that this podcast and what I do is really mindset based.
Yeah.
And I know that you're on board with that. So tell me a little bit about the philosophy of working with a professional team of any kind, but a professional basketball team. That's amazing.
Right. So I had people that would ask me before I actually got out to LA. I had taken the job, but I was had to move out there and all that stuff. Like, man, aren't you going to be are you nervous that you're going to be able to work with that level of athlete, or that you'll know how to work with that level of athlete and that kind of thing? And I always said, no, I'm not at all, because all humans are athletes. And so we all need some of the foundational same things, although we all have different goals and we all have different things that we need to work on. But I always just felt like the number one objective that I, and the filter that I use to help the, it's almost like the higher level you go, the more basic things need to be. And so for them to work at deeply on the fundamentals, and I guess the easiest way to kind of think about that is these players on the LA Lakers roster, 15 players, have an incredible ability to put on SportsCenter highlights every night. You see them, and they're great. That's what they do. I don't need to help them jump higher and jump even further over the rim, or do these amazing SportsCenter highlights even better than they already do. I just need to make them be durable and be healthy to do that. So in that sense, I think if you go in the other way around and say, well, they're elite athletes, I need to make them more elite, and then you get ahead of yourself and you start doing crazy stuff, and this happens. I see
really?
You know, pro athletes that are being guided down these paths of, well, you're a pro athlete, so you should be able to do the craziest version of this exercise. And the cool part about it is, with now what we do with TD Athletes Edge,
right,
many of the same, you see some still shots of me working with Kobe or different people in the past, and they're like, hey, wait a minute, you were having Kobe do those exercises?
He's got Kobe. I'm doing the same exercises.
That's right.
Am I doing the same exercises?
You are.
I just want to full disclosure. I do work out at Tim's gym. So next time you have to tell me, you know, Kobe did this.
That's
one.
Right.
I'll be like, oh, I got to do it really well.
That's right. Exactly. So I think that was my mindset of just saying, it kept me with one objective. I think that's the other part, is sometimes having a mindset where I have to do everything to all for these athletes. I have to make them faster, jump higher, be healthy, be durable, whatever it is, get stronger, get bigger, lose weight. And you start trying to do all those things and you spread yourself out so thin, and you actually are helping them do none of those things. So just having one objective, one filter of that's really the one filter I ran through all my decisions of why I would do a certain exercise with somebody. And it definitely was the right sort of mindset to take at that level, because it can get overwhelming.
So it really is this idea of just keep it simple.
Yeah.
And that works no matter who you are.
100%.
Well, that really is a beautiful thing, and also gives me some hope.
I love that.
So, of course, one of the things you said was you wanted to keep them more durable,
yeah,
right? So that was injury prevention, and also when they had an injury, rehabilitating that injury. That was about,
totally
okay.
Yeah. So it when I took the job as the head strength and conditioning coach of the Lakers, there really wasn't another head strength coach in the entire league that was also a physical therapist. And so that's really one of the main reasons why I was on the radar of the sports medicine staff, and particularly the legendary Gary Vitti, he was 28 years as the head athletic trainer of the Lakers, and always the guy with the mustache and the curly hair until he lost his hair, but the guy with the mustache and goatee who was sitting basically first on the bench, as the head athletic trainer always does, of the Lakers in all their titles in those years, and Magic all the way through Kobe and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so Gary was really seeing a little bit ahead of where the field was going. Now you have a number of strength coaches that are dual physical therapists and that kind of thing. But I had luckily had some of the foresight to make that part of my toolbox and in how I wanted to build myself up as a professional. But then Gary had the foresight to see, well, this is a skill set or dual skill set that he would want as overseeing his weight room. And I think the change there was just this idea that it's not all about just if all you're focused on from the weight room is bigger muscles, jump higher, right. run faster, then you aren't really thinking about, well, what if a physical therapist was also a strength coach, and could you blend two of those approaches? To your point, a lot of why it's nice, and it, I think was a good fit for me to be in that weight room, was guys do get hurt. And so what happens when they get done with their acute rehab, but it's time to return to play? There's this awkward period where they're not quite ready to go back to the court 100%, but they're also done with the acute, sort of what you think of as they're getting treatment on the training table, and they're in that very acute rehab stage. So that mid ground stage is something that I was really poised to be able to help to fill for them.
Oh, that's really, really interesting, because you think of them, you know, really chomping at the bit to get out there, which I'm sure you have the experience of that.
Yeah.
But that there really is a time frame where until they're really ready to, you know, go play the game.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Totally.
That's really interesting, because we don't think of it, you know, as sideline people, you know, we don't think of it that way. Okay, so you were doing that for the Lakers.
Yep.
And now you're doing it for old ladies like me.
All humans are athletes. Don't forget that.
No, I'm not an athlete. Yes, I don't. I mean, I like to compete in athletics, but I'm not an athlete.
You are.
I like to say, Tim, that I come from a long line of couch potatoes, which I do. You know, the fact that I do any exercise at all, they're all like amazed. But anyways, so NBA players are pretty young,
yep.
right? So yep. they're going to respond in a different way.
Yep.
But now you're working with, you know, a lot of people who, let's say, are middle-aged and up.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of us.
Absolutely.
And so is that a different skill set, or is it basically the same thing?
It's in so many ways the same thing. I would say that in many, many ways, it's actually far more rewarding to work with the audience that I get to work with now, which you hit it on the head. The majority of the members at TD Athletes Edge,
right.
at our gym and rehab center, are 35 to 55 years old. They're weekend warriors. They're,
oh my God, I'm the top of the
That's just the sweet spot.
I'm the old
one. We have outliers.
No, I know that.
So, you know, from that audience, and the biggest difference from working, and this is the part that's often surprising for people when they think, I took that job with the Lakers and it must have been just so easy to have all these athletes that were so hungry, and they must have been just lining up and banging on the door to come in the weight room every day and do their job, and it's just not the case.
Really? Oh, well, do tell.
It's
do
not
tell,
the
because
case.
Because that would feel really good for those of us who really struggle. I mean, I've talked to you about this before, but I love my swimming, but I do not love the strength training.
Right.
Although I'm learning to like it more. I am. That's not just, you know, telling you that because you're here. But I am. But we want to hear about the pro athletes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who
doesn't love it? Yeah.
So
I always break down the locker room that I had as basically society, which is I really started to realize you have 30% of the locker room, these 15 elite athletes who have guaranteed contracts and just are there to play basketball, who, you know what, they want to turn over every stone. They are the early adapters. If there's a resource to them that they aren't tapping into, they want to know about it. They better figure it out, and they want to have you teach them. So there's 30% that are going to bang down the door. And I actually have to say, like, guys, you're overtraining. Like, we've done 4 sessions this week. We don't need to do 5. Then there's 30% who are saying, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know it's good for me. I do actually feel better when I do it. So yeah, you're not going to have to like go find me, but I'm going to do the bare minimum, and I'm going to make sure I do what is expected of me, that kind of thing. You have this other 30% that is like, when it's convenient for me, I'll do it. I don't like doing it. I'm here to play basketball. This isn't, but I get it. Like, I don't want to be the bottom of the barrel, so I'll do it. But you may have to come remind me a couple times.
And that would be me.
Yeah, right. And then you have 10% who they're just out on it. That they don't see the purpose of it. It's not part of their being. It's not part of what they see got them there. It wasn't part of the equation that got them there. And so they're just going to be ones that I have to really go grab and bring in and say, what can we compromise with here?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I got good at. It was hard to get good at, and I failed many times before I could figure it out. But it was understanding that what Steve Nash was going to do for his body, which he's the front 30% who's going to do everything and more and too much sometimes, and what another player that just was much younger at that point in their career or just didn't see the value in it, I wasn't going to get that person at that bottom end to become Steve Nash overnight or ever, maybe.
Yeah.
So could I get that person who was in the bottom 10% to slip up into the next 30% and maybe just at least be getting your bare minimum and understand the value of it over time? But like you said, we had so many young athletes and players that came through. We were not great when I was there. And so we were often drafting number two, number three, four, five, six right. out of the lottery. And so that meant we were getting a lot of 19, 20, 21-year-old kids.
Yeah.
And that person's going to have, as I'm sure we can all remember back to ourselves, yeah. when we first became a professional, we didn't have all our ducks in a row. We didn't understand what it meant to be a pro.
Or those of us who have children who are that age, right. who think they know everything.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And so you look at, I look at a young man like Julius Randle now, who made an all-star team last year with the New York Knicks. But he started with the Lakers. He started as this... is just top level draft pick, number six in the draft, and he was supposed to be this next piece of the Lakers that would turn them around and all that stuff. And that didn't work out for him there, but something clicked by year four, by year five. And Julius and I spent a lot of time where I was really dragging him in and showing him, like, no, this is really going to be good for you. Don't fight me on it. And we went head to head a couple of times, but the other side of it is Julius did listen. And I, you know, things like not just the weight room, I would go to Julius's house and teach him how to make salad dressing the healthy way without using bad oils so that he could take care of his body in the other 23 hours of the day. And eventually you just hope that it's like having kids, right? You expose them to a bunch of things and you expose them to these values and the ways that that standards that are, you believe are what we should live to. And you hope some of them, that exposure over time just starts to stick. And it is so rewarding when you see a guy like Julius, who I wasn't there when it did click, but I was part of the foundation of helping him to kind of get that.
That's so cool. That kind of gives me chills yeah. when you say that, to see that happen. So it sounds like what you're saying is that you as a trainer need to be really flexible and meet people where they're at.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. And that's your mindset, where yeah. your mindset comes into play.
Yeah.
But how interesting that when we think of a trainer, we think of a guy who's in the gym and it, you know, in my mind, you're really blowing my mind because I thought they have their time. They come in to the gym. You do their thing with them, and then they leave.
Yep.
And that's not it at all. And you're really in the guy's house. Did he have a nice house? Did he have a good kitchen?
It was pretty darn nice.
Okay. That's what we really want to know. And you're helping him because it is. You're in the gym 1 hour a day.
Exactly.
So what do you do in the other 23 hours? Hopefully sleeping 8 hours too. I'm sure you talked to them about that.
Totally.
But you're teaching him how to make healthy food.
Yeah.
And so in your mind, I'm guessing, so you can talk a little bit about this, the real connection between nutrition and those other 23 hours of the day that they're not in the gym with you.
Well, it's so huge. To me, it is the thing, it becomes the binder or sort of the galvanizing force that takes any of the work that you're going to do in the gym and just cements it. And so why do all that hard work for an hour a couple times a week if you're going to either undo or never have something that binds it all together and actually gets the results? And so it is a tricky thing because life is busy and getting good sleep is hard, and nutrition, although we all know basically what the right choices could be or should be.
No, it really is confusing.
It's confusing.
I mean, it's incredibly confusing. And it's very personal. Like, it's
yeah.
So I think certain people respond in certain ways to certain kinds of nutritional advice and other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I can tell you that we're all completely confused about nutrition. But
right.
But go ahead. Continue
yeah, well,
on.
Just being able to have people recognize how much of an impact, you brought up sleep, how much of an
right.
impact making a couple of, it's not about, we had Antoine Jameson was this grizzled veteran when he got to the Lakers. And if you've been in anything for 15, 16 years, you're probably not looking to make a ton of changes with what you're doing. But Antoine, I noticed in the first couple of games that he was with us, he had a habit of grabbing a Snickers bar that he had tucked away in his locker at halftime. And he was also coming to me and saying, like, I'm running out of gas in the second half. And I kind of, instead of going right at him and being like, before I had even a relationship with him and saying, hey, let's not do the Snickers, let's get that out of here, to this 15-year veteran, when he came to me with a problem and I could link it and show him how, well, having a Snickers is going to create a spike in energy and a crash in energy, and that may be why in the second half you're having low energy. What if we did a hazelnut nut butter packet, like a Justin's nut butter packet instead? You're getting this chocolatey taste. I get it. Your habit of doing that, I don't want to totally interrupt that, but we could do it in a way that's a little bit more sustainable energy. Do you want to try? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. Why not? And so he felt a difference. It was, you know, and that's the thing that I always appreciated about that level and that type of a player, who they were just at least open-minded to saying, some people say they'll do anything to get results and then they won't actually do that.
Yeah.
But when you can work with somebody that is saying, like, okay, I'm open to it, let's try it, and then we'll debrief it together. And those are the types of things. And those other 23 hours of the day and those nutrition choices, those sleep habits. I always used to say that the hardest thing for me, and this is me not playing 1 second of NBA basketball, the hardest thing for me in that job was the travel and the sleep patterns that gets disrupted because of it. I always said that my body felt like a snow globe, and every couple of days somebody was just doing this to it.
Was right just shaking
when,
it.
Right when
no,
it
but would, my listeners can't yeah. see that, but he's shaking
right.
the snow globe.
Would shake the snow globe of my body. And right when I would feel like all those little snow pieces would settle in and we'd be at home for a 10-day stretch and we'd be in LA and I'd be getting sunshine, I'd be getting regular sleep in mm-hmm. one time zone, we were off again for another one. And so so that part is really hard, and I think that a lot of people see these players on a Thursday night game on ESPN,
yeah.
and then they might just go back to their life from Thursday, and then Sunday they pop on, oh, that same team is playing on Sunday, and they don't even realize a different city now.
Right.
What happens between Thursday and Sunday is two time zones get crossed. The player turned an ankle in the game, so he's got an injury. His his wife at home is at home back home while they're traveling with two kids by, and she's adding stress, or yeah. he's not doing a good job of listening to her problems and whatever it is.
Yeah,
I'm
right,
not putting
right.
it on her
no,
or
no,
him
no, no, no,
but there's family stress.
Family stress, yeah.
And all
stress,
these things go
yeah.
on between Thursday and Sunday, and all you see is like, oh, let me watch the Lakers again on Sunday.
Right. We just think that they go out there, this is their
yeah.
one job, they go out there and
yeah.
that they don't have lives
exactly.
outside that couple hours we watch them on the TV.
100%.
Wow, you know, it really, really is food for thought. And
yep.
and the other thing is that I'm actually trained as a cognitive therapist.
Yes.
So one thing that's really interesting is that you kind of have to have some of those skills when you're doing what you're doing. It's not just
yep.
the physical, it's the mental piece too. And so you really are a jack of all trades.
you do end up being that. And one of the best things that prepared me to be in that sort of wear a bunch of hats role was
right.
before I got the Lakers job,
yeah.
I was the head athletic trainer and strength coach for the Bakersfield Jam, which
oh.
is an NBA D League team. Now it's the G League, and so it's the Gatorade League.
What does that mean?
But that's NBA's minor leagues.
Oh, NBA's minor leagues.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I had taken this job. And so if you know anything or have been at all around minor league sports, you.
Not much.
Yeah. And so you start, once you get in there and see it, though, it's like, I was the athletic trainer on my contract, but in real life, like what I was doing was I was the travel coordinator. I was the equipment manager. I took them grocery shopping. I literally was driving the vans to the airports to get us onto the airplanes and that kind of thing. So, oh, by the way, I'm the athletic trainer. And so funny story, when I was taking the job as the head strength coach with the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
Gary Vitti, legendary
yes.
head athletic trainer, he said to me, well, mainly you'll be in the weight room, that kind of thing. We want you overlapping with some of the rehab, that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's not like I'm going to ask you to do the laundry around here or anything. And I'm thinking to myself, literally in the role that I was in as he was saying that, I said to him, actually, well, I've got to go turn over the laundry here as the athletic trainer of the Bakersfield Jam. That is one of my things. So if you needed me to, I could do it. But so he's like, trust me, kid, you're not going to.
Well, that must have been a relief.
Yeah,
huh?
It was nice.
Right? That is nice that you didn't have to do the laundry too. Boy, exactly. You really were everything to everybody in this role.
Totally.
Wow. So I want to spend a little time talking about your podcast.
Yes.
Because our friend Tim here is a podcast host himself. And I've been listening to your podcast too. So it's really great. And the one thing great, and you say this on your podcast, so the podcast is called the Basketball Strong Podcast.
Yep.
But you don't have to be into basketball to enjoy it. And there is really seriously something for everyone. There's a lot of life lessons here that these pro athletes go through that you can really apply to any part of your life. I really appreciate that. And I also just listened to the podcast with the young man who wrote a book about his family, who
Dan Grunfeld,
who survived the Holocaust, and his father was a fairly well-known basketball player, an NBA player eventually.
Yeah.
Coach, right?
General manager. Upper management. Yeah.
Amazing. And what a story it was. And you don't really, you wouldn't look for that on a basketball podcast,
right.
But it is there. So tell me how you got involved in doing this podcast, and kind of what is your thinking about putting a podcast out there?
I love that. So the Basketball Strong Podcast is a place and a platform where I get to communicate to and share some of the stories that I've been experienced with, but more almost like selfishly.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there with a box of popcorn in these episodes because I get an excuse to get with our guests. Are people that either I worked with closely or I had connection to but never got to be directly around and would have loved to have. But the thing is, when you're in the trenches and you're working with somebody day in, day out, you don't always get a chance to hear their real true story. Like, what got you here?
Yeah.
And what were the things that were setbacks that people wouldn't have expected? They see your glory now. They see you doing so well and they just assume it was easy for you or something like that. But somewhere where somebody's doing really successful, great things, there was a bunch of setbacks and slips and fumbles, and how you responded to those was your story. And that's what we get to do. And I just love stories like that. I love hearing those deeper kind of the things like, wow, so that means that if what I'm doing and I'm fumbling and bumbling, I can actually keep going and overcome this because that person did that. And a lot of times you just don't see that. You don't realize that part of it is like what's below the pinnacle of where that person's at. So it just gives me an excuse and a chance to do that. Gives me a chance to tell some of the stories that I've been around and the people I've been around with. I look at Basketball Strong as this term, and we finish every episode with this famous question of, what does it mean to you to be basketball strong?
Yeah, that was going to ask you. Yeah. What does it mean to you to be basketball strong?
Wow. Well, I'll get into that. And okay. I think it's been so fascinating to hear the answers of different people, because like you said, a lot of the people we've had on are, it's not, at face value, you hear that term and you're thinking, oh, Tim's going to tell us what. That you have to have strong quads and you have to jump high. And here's the exercises to do that, to physically prepare your body for that. And we do that. We get into some Monday episodes where we talk about some of the physical preparation for being a high performer. I think the thing to remember about that, though, is that idea that all humans are athletes. I mean, we talk about Ben Simmons, who's getting ready to return to NBA action after a year plus off. But I also tie it back to, hey, if you haven't jogged for a year and you're trying to get back to it, these are principles that Ben Simmons, an NBA All-Star, would apply that you should too. So those are those pieces. But then this thing that has come to the surface on what is basketball strong is this idea of really doesn't have to do with the physical. It's how do you respond to adversity? And that's sort of, to me, the measure. So when I distill all of the answers that we've had on so many guest episodes now, it does really come down to that. And that, to answer your question, is how I define basketball strong. Is basketball is this game where in a single game you can be down 20 and up 20 in a 10-minute swing of a period. So there's these ebbs and flows and sort of roller coasters of adversity that you're going to be faced. You could get struck with injury. You could have to, there's so many things, and that's at the micro level. But then to be able to apply that is, you know, basketball is just sort of the lens that we use, and then you can apply that to anywhere. So it's really, I think being basketball strong is your ability to face adversity, lick your wounds quickly, and then figure out how you're going to bounce back.
Really, really. And it's all in the mind.
Totally.
This is what
it's what you decide to
George
do.
George Harrison, I think, said that. Yeah. It's all in the mind.
That's
you know?
And
it really is. And what with what I do as well. It really is that in the end, I mean, you maybe basketball players, especially, I would think, come to the table with some physical gifts.
Of course.
You
course.
Know, right? You know, not everybody is 6 foot. Eight, you
know? That's right.
Right? But that's not what gets you to the NBA or whatever your goal, your particular goal is.
One of my favorite things, too, is to listen to podcasts and to listen to different people speak about, whether it's in a podcast medium or not, of just different stories of how you can apply to your own craft, to your own industry, a lesson or a behavior that seemed to parlay into success without somebody even realizing it at the time, things like that. And I think there's just a if you look at anybody that's very, very successful for a very long time, they've sort of looked at different industries, different crafts, and they just looked outside of their own bubble to find what other people are doing. And that's one of the things that I'm really excited about the Basketball Strong podcast is that we have already a lot of listeners that wouldn't otherwise be tuning into a lot of basketball stuff.
Yeah, no, I have to admit, I definitely wouldn't be because, I mean, I do have like a fondness for basketball.
Yeah.
Because I told you about how my dad was really into basketball and he used to take us to the Laker games.
Yes.
The Laker games. And so there is like a special place in my heart for it, but it's not like something, I don't watch it on TV and stuff like that. I'm a swimmer and we don't actually... You know, if I wish there wasn't as much swimming as there was basketball on TV because I'd be watching that, you know.
I hear you.
But but it really, 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 it does have something for everyone. And I want to impress upon my listeners, especially, you know, those of you who are maybe struggling with injuries or other adversity or, you know, most of my listeners are, you know, looking, they're having a weight loss journey or not or struggling.
Yeah.
And you could really gain something from that. I mean, the one I just listened to was just phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Well, and the book is By the Grace of the Game.
By the Grace of the Game.
Dan Grunfeld is just an incredible writer, but storyteller too. So his ability
Absolutely.
To articulate what his family
went
through.
Oh, it was amazing. Well, I'm Jewish. I don't know if you know that, but I'm Jewish. So it really spoke to me on that level as well because I, you know,
exactly.
some of my family has that story as
incredible.
Well. But that one was kind of particular. It's funny though. It was funny because he called his grandmother,
Anyu.
Yes. I'm like, go ahead. He didn't call her Bubby. I was like, my grandma was Bubby. But anyways, and I knew all about the number 18 as well.
Wow.
I knew that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would have picked up on that.
I love that.
Anyways, so Tim, how can people find the Basketball Strong podcast and like it and give a review and subscribe and all that stuff? So let's start there.
Start there. So Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Okay.
Preferably find us on Apple Podcasts and just type in the Basketball Strong podcast.
Basketball Strong podcast.
That's right. And please subscribe first and then give a listen. And after you've listened, we would love if you get a chance to put a little brief review in there. And that helps us, as you know, it helps us to grow and to reach more people that way. And I want to be able to do this for a long time to come. And so that helps us to grow and kind of be viable as we grow. So that's huge for us. Just generally in terms of following TD Athletes Edge, myself, and kind of what we're up to, Instagram's a great place. I post daily there with nagging injury solutions, with injury or exercise form tips, and just pro tips of training, nutrition, recovery, and that kind of thing. So I post daily there and I will respond to all my DMs. And so you can reach me there. You can check out what we're doing there. That's at TD Athletes Edge. And then our website, www.tdathletesedge.com. And you can see what we're doing in our in-person operation. And we do online, very customized online training as well for people that geographically are not right nearby us
okay.
in Salem.
Oh, all right. So, yes. So I was going to say that Tim is in Salem. And so if you're in the North Shore and, you know, I highly recommend it. I am a a patron.
Yes.
And I just started maybe 4 months ago or
That's
whatever.
Right.
Oh, and crushing it.
Crushing it. Exactly.
I don't know about that. But
you should
that's
see
not,
her,
that's
guys.
Not Tim's fault, though. But I was going to say, now I can say anyone. So
anyone. Yeah.
Cause so we I, have, it's definitely a, it's different.
Yeah.
So if you have not had a lot of success or enjoyed strength training in the past,
right,
or rehabilitation, injury rehabilitation in the past, I really encourage you to reach out and take a look because it is different. It is different. And less really is more here.
No doubt. Yeah. I think one of the things, that's a great way to put it. I think one of the things that differentiates us is that ability of ours to not overdo, to not get too complicated too fast and fast forward the process.
Yeah.
You said it earlier, but it's like everybody does have, everybody's starting point is different. And so our goal through a actual assessment to get started, and then that's another thing that differentiates us, but also understanding where, let's start from the start. Your start is different than where my start is, and so on down the line. And so we've got to start from your start and then helping you to figure out how we do this for the long game. And that's the goal of it. And so many people see Athlete's Edge, athletes in the name, mm-hmm. TD Athlete's Edge,
right.
And they say, oh, well, I'm not an athlete, mm-hmm. and I'm still
that
disagreeing. I'm disagreeing. You're wrong. You are. And they say, oh, that's not for me because I don't play a sport or I'm not on a rostered team or something like that.
Right.
You know, that is the beauty of the name is once people get in our door, we literally have a 77-year-old woman, Anne Marie, who's working out with us 2 to 3 times a week. And she's had a couple of hip replacements and that kind of thing. And we have a UFC fighter who trains in the same exact room with her on some days who is, his next
That's
fight will
awesome.
Be on ESPN.
That's awesome. And the trainers are really great too. I mean, Tim does not have anyone who isn't awesome in there. You can work out with anyone and have a great
It's such a special group.
It's a special place. It really is a special place. So,
well, thank you.
But I want to thank you. No, thank you. So I want to remind my listeners that everything that Tim talked about just now will be in the description. So you can just click on through. I will link it. I will hyperlink it right there
awesome.
For you. And Tim, my God, this is so great. And I'm so starstruck about this, and you're just Tim, you know.
It's I've always, and I can honestly say this, many, especially entry level young professionals getting into my field will say, how do I get the job with the Lakers? How do I? That's what's going to really make me excited about this career and this job. And I said, well, you better decide real fast. You're probably not going to get a chance to work with a Kobe. If you do, and I can help you think about ways that might put you in a position toward that, it's going to be really tricky and you're going to have to get some luck on your side.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the one thing, and I say this, whether I'm working with 77-year-old Anne Marie or I'm working with Kobe, I literally get goosebumps when I see the progress happen with each of them. And I can honestly say that because I have. So that's that it just means a lot for me to be able to talk about it with you today.
That's awesome. I appreciate it. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you for coming down and taking time and talking with us.
Thank you, Andy.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Tim DeFrancesco of TD Athlete's Edge and the Basketball Strong podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, you never have to miss an episode. Please like and subscribe to the Well Aware podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or any other favorite podcast streaming service. Please visit my webpage at mindoverfood.com or email me at andy@mindoverfood.com. You can also like and follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/wellawarepodcast. And I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thanks for listening to this episode. I'm your host, Andy Friedman. Keep an ear out for more of the Well Aware podcast coming soon.